Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm so glad that you have joined us this morning. And if you are new to us today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we welcome you and are so glad that you joined us. And so let's start the service today by reading our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we are doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to move back into that awareness that yes, indeed, that infinite presence, that presence of life, the Christ nature, the Buddha nature, God, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, the universe, actually exists within us as well as all around us. That we actually have come here as incarnations of that light and the love and the peace and the good that God is. And because we are spiritual by nature, that means that we can never be separate from those qualities of spirit. We can never be separate from peace or from love or from the truth of power or wholeness. And what happens is, as we come to know that and recognize that, it puts us at choice when we're out in the world, and it puts us in a place of empowerment, because then we are not as reliant on the world being peaceful or being loving. Of course, that's what we would prefer, but we aren't reliant on it in order to be peaceful or loving or kind or generous or any of those spiritual qualities. So we can bring those qualities into the world where they are needed and where they are wanted. And so as we do that, we participate in our own spiritual evolution, but because we are connected to everyone and everything, we actually add that consciousness to that collective, and we support the evolution of humanity because we are all part of the same whole. And so I say thank you to each and every one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be being a beneficial presence in the world, and to be bringing your light into this world in a way that is beneficial to everyone. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You know, Living Beyond Limits, our mission statement speaks to our being a beneficial presence in the world. And I think that each and every single one of us in this room wants to be able to make a positive impact on this planet. We want to be a force for good. We also want to live with a sense of peace and a sense of our connection with everyone and with life itself. It feels so good to live from that place. I read an article that I'd like to share with you by Evan Hodkins from the School of Alchemy. He says, every day we are given the opportunity to bless others. Someone will cross our path who needs help or requires our service, and we can brighten their day in some incredible way. The opportunities are always there. We can grow a consciousness around this where we adopt a discipline of giving with no strings attached. Blessing and purifying your money and all those who touch it can be a deep way of feeling more connected with our brothers and sisters. In the Torah of the Hebrew Bible, the word beggar does not exist. The words they used for beggar are my brother, my sister. Have you considered that the homeless person on the street isn't there for us to make judgments? They are there for us to get clear about who we are. There was an article in a Jewish context entitled, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? The Treatment of Beggars According to the Jewish Tradition, in which the writer Arthur Kerwell asked, What if someone on the street approaches me, and what if they are a fake or a fraud? What if their begging is motivated by temperament rather than need? What if there are no obvious obstacles to their being unemployed? Kurwell makes the point that we quickly make calculations and computations about whether this person is on drugs, whether they're on alcohol, etc. Do you do that? Here's the teaching as a giver. I'm put in a position where I'm evaluating the character of this person. I'm going to judge them one way or the other, and I'm going to have a verdict right there on the street. This means that basically my ethical wholeness is dependent upon my slippery response in that particular moment. Do you realize that beggars on the street are there to reveal our slime to us? Haven't you been embarrassed or shamed by your judgments and response to the person? When you encounter a beggar, we're put on the spot. Isn't it the case that if you give, you'll feel badly, and if you don't give, you'll feel badly? And that's because we don't know who we are. The beggar on the street is just an opportunity, just a teaching moment. Go deeper, my friends. The beggar is not the issue. The issue, do you know yourself? Are you connected to the flow? Or are you still acting out of fear and judgment? Do you know who you are? And what if it's not just about how you treat the person who's asking for money on the street? What if it's about the way that you interact with and perceive everybody that you encounter in this world? And what if it's not just about the way that you interact with them, the way that you treat them, but what if it's also about the way you treat yourself when you do that judgment, when you decide that you are unworthy, that you don't deserve? Marianne Williamson reminds us, love is what we are born with. Fear is what we've learned here. Love is how we came to this planet. It's what we've come from and what we've come as. And from our very human perspective, it's really easy to be in judgment of others and in judgment of ourselves. It's really easy when it comes to other people that we think that our opinions and our perspective is the right perspective, and what we believe that our opinion is, we think that we somehow know best. Do you do that while you're out in the world? So I'd like to share a story with you. A young teacher from an industrial city in the north of England had accepted a temporary job teaching a class of four-year-olds out in one of the most isolated rural parts of Wales. One of her first lessons involved teaching the children the letter S. So she held up a big color photograph of a sheep and said, "Now who can tell me what this is?" No answer. 20 blank and wordless faces looked back at her. "Come on, tell me what this is," she exclaimed, tapping the photograph determinately, unable to believe that the children were quite so ignorant. The 20 faces became apprehensive and even fearful as she continued to question them with mounting frustration. Eventually, one brave soul, put up a tiny, reluctant hand. "Yes," she cried, waving the photo, "tell me what this is." "Please, miss," said the boy warily, "is it a 3-year-old border Leicester?" Do we do that? We think we know the right answer. Our our opinion is the right opinion. The way that we see things is the right way to see things. Not giving other people credit for what they might know, for what their own inner guidance might be. Even not even recognizing, when it comes to our own individual lives, not recognizing that innate wisdom in a person. Not recognizing their own wholeness. When we think that we know the best answer for someone else, we forget that within each of us there is a wisdom. We forget that within each of us is the intelligence of the cosmos. And when we forget that about someone else, it is disempowering to them. Think about it in your own life. Do you do that with your kids or your sister or brother or parents? It's disempowering to them when we think we know their answer. When we hold someone else's answer, we forget that the power and the potential and the inner wisdom is within them, that there is an innate wholeness within them. Parker Palmer says, there is a hidden wholeness in all things. We forget that there is a wholeness in all things. We also forget that we are all human and divine. And that means then that if we see people as human and divine, we can actually see that they have their brokenness and their woundedness and their faults and their foibles, but they also have a power and an intelligence and a wisdom and a good within them. But when we forget that they are human and divine, we can see them as incapable. We can see them as less than. And what happens is then we get filled with negative thoughts about it. And so we're doing a class right now called Journey of the Soul. And most of the exercises in the class are really have to do with identifying as your soul. And we do things in that class like introduce yourself like you would just normally introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Jennifer, and tell them about yourself. I live in Long Beach, California, and I work as a minister and blah, blah, blah. And then you introduce yourself, you let your soul introduce yourself. And what your soul has to say is completely different than what your personality has to say. We answer questions in class from your human self and let your soul answer the question. And they are entirely different. And so what is soul? What is your soul? I think the soul is the part of us that is eternal. It is the part of us that is whole. Its essence is wisdom and love. It always sees from a higher and a fuller perspective because it is eternal. Our soul is timeless. To me, that means that it is outside of time. I said this to you a couple weeks ago. I think that our soul has one foot fully immersed in this human life that we're living, and then the other foot fully embedded in spirit, knowing the truth of the capital T, seeing a bigger picture, knowing wholeness and power and love all the time. I also think that our soul is an individualized expression of spirit, of God, of the One, but yet it is unique to each of us because it has our individual unique imprint on it. But it's both of those things at the same time. The voice of your spirit, your soul, is always different than the voice of your personality. It is always higher. It has a higher perspective, higher answers. It is never critical. It is always more loving and more spacious. It always knows that we and everyone else are capable and that we are whole. And so the title of my talk today is Power for the People. And I'm talking about that when we see from the perspective of our soul, when we view life from that perspective, and when we see the soul of other people, it empowers us and it empowers them. It's kind of like giving them the benefit of the doubt without even trying. And so I know in our own personal lives, we can have a positive impact on this planet and be a beneficial presence by doing things like offering encouragement rather than criticism. We can be accepting of other people or of ourselves rather than being judgmental. We can choose to recognize the positive in another person rather than gossiping about them. And it takes mindfulness to do that. And it takes awareness to do that. And it takes commitment to do that. But when we are looking at life from the vantage point of our soul, when we get centered in our own soul and look through those eyes, we automatically drop the criticism. It's just not there. We automatically feel and act in ways that are encouraging to ourselves and to other people. We recognize the positive. We recognize the divine energy that is in everyone when we're looking at life from that soul perspective. And when we do that, we create space for growth. We create space for flourishing within ourselves and within other people. When we come from that vantage point of the soul, we empower other people and we empower ourselves. We allow the wholeness within them to come forward and to express itself. And we create space for unity between us and other people because we create space for higher resolutions, higher ideas, higher things to reveal themselves. Makes me think of like learning to teach a kid to ride a bike. You know, when you teach a kid to ride a bike, you know they have what it takes to ride the bike. And you hold that for them while they're learning. There's something within them that has an urge and a desire to grow and to become more, which makes them want to learn to ride the bike, but they don't know that they can do it. And they fall off and they run into cars and trees and that kind of stuff. But you know that they can do it, that they have what it takes. It's already within them. And you hold that. You're not even aware of it, but you're holding that for them the whole time that you're teaching them to ride a bike. It's like that. It's seeing from this perspective that we are each and every one of us whole and capable and powerful and creative and boundless in our nature, and that our essence, regardless of what the person is showing the world, but the energy in the essence of all of us is love. It's seeing that, even when your human eyes can't see that. So when we apply that soul presence, then we can see that within other people. We can see that light. And when we apply that soul presence, we can see their wholeness. And when we look from that vantage point, that is looking through the eyes of the Christ within us. That is Christ consciousness. That is how Jesus lived his life, looking through those eyes. From that soul perspective, within other people and within ourselves, we see their wholeness, their beauty, their power. And it creates space for that wholeness and beauty and power to express itself. Knowing that kid can ride that bike creates space for that kid to ride that bike. Makes me think years ago, I had a counseling client when I was a young practitioner that I saw, and I've told you this story before, but it's just so amazing to me. And I'd never met her before. I'm not sure where she got my phone number, but I met her at the church, and no one was there, so I was the first one to unlock the door, and she gets out of her car, and she has on like a cotton-flowered house dress, and I don't think she had a bra on, and she had, her boobs were way down here, and she had really frizzy, like, permed hair, and she had a tennis shoe on one foot, and her other leg was a broomstick. And I welcomed her in, and we went and sat down, and the most amazing thing happened to me is all I could see was her light. Is all I could see was her beauty, her power. And in that counseling session, seeing that gave her space to have answers come forward, to find solutions, to have insights. But for my human eyes to see this on the outside and from in here to be able to see that light was just amazing to me. It was the first time I'd ever done that. And so think about in your own life, when someone sees your power, when someone sees that you are capable, how do you act versus when someone sees you as incapable or not enough or not smart enough? Do you act differently? Do you feel differently when you're around someone who believes in you, who sees you as capable? We respond differently. When we recognize that we are human and divine, we see just that. We see the brokenness and the woundedness, the faults and the shortcomings, and we see it as just part of this human condition. That's how we are all living this human life with all of those things. We also see, when we recognize that we are human and divine, we see that we are all powerful, that we are all whole, that we are all filled with wisdom and love. But in order to see from that perspective, we have to drop into our hearts. We have to drop into the love that is within us. We have to drop into our own divine nature and drop into our soul. And so let's try that right now. Just close your eyes for just a second. And allow yourself, your energy, your focus to move into your heart space. And feel your heart opening. Allowing your energy to move from your head into your own beingness. Here is our own essence. That energy and that beingness that we came into this world as. That which is eternal. That which is whole. That which is wise and loving. And so imagine, feel if you can, and if you can't, just imagine that you are your own soul right now. And that your energy is unconditional love. And now recognizing that your soul is this individualized light of the divine, I invite you to take that soul energy, that soul essence, that light, and to go ahead and open your eyes and to radiate that light, that soul energy, that essence to the other people in this room. Let it expand from you to wrap itself around other people in this room. Let it get larger out of your body to engulf them. And to take a moment and look around the room from your own soul's perspective, can you see the light in other people? Can you see their soul? Can you see their spirit? It takes a second. You gotta rest there for a second. It's like, oh, there it is. There it is. From your soul's perspective, can you perceive their wholeness or their power or their beauty? It's like you don't quite see it with your eyes, you see it with something else, huh? When we are awake and aware and walking this spiritual path, we want to be able to come to life from our spirit. We want to be able to come to life from our soul. We want to be able to see life and other people from that broader perspective. It's so much more satisfying to be able to see from that perspective rather than just this human eye, ego perspective. It makes life so much richer and so much fuller and so much grander. When we bring soul presence, our soul presence to anything, that's exactly what happens. We see that bigger perspective, that grander perspective. And we can bring soul presence like that to anything in our life, to anyone. And when we do, that's exactly what happens. When we do that, we create space for that other person's potential and that other person's wholeness to come forward. And so my invitation to you this week is to recognize all of our humanity as well as our divinity. That each and every one of us is both of those things. Broken and wounded and in foibles and faults and powerful and whole and filled with wisdom and filled with love. To see that soul essence, that power and wholeness within other people. But it requires, as you see, it requires you to shift your perspective in order to see that. You have to consciously drop into your spirit and see through the eyes of your spirit in order to do that. And I have an exercise for you to do this week. Every time that you are at a traffic light, look at the people in the cars around you and see if you can witness their soul. Can you see that in them? And practice bringing your own soul essence to your relationships and to how you treat others and to how you treat yourself. It's the most amazing thing in that class when we are talking about things going on in our lives from that soul perspective. There's kindness and compassion and gentleness, and absolutely your soul believes in you, that you can do it all, that you have it all. So practice coming from that perspective in your life and radiate that soul energy, that soul light to someone who's sick. Radiate it to someone who's having a hard time. Radiate it to someone you are having a disagreement with. And don't tell them that you're doing it. Just do it and see what happens. And as we do that, we will be acting as a healing presence in this world. As we do that, we will be having a positive impact on those around us. And as we do that, we will be living with soul purpose and soul presence. And so blessings to each and every one of you as you walk this spiritual path, giving way to the divine presence as you give way to your own divine nature within you and bringing that to this world. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer, to join me as we turn our attention to the truth of the capital T, recognizing that that infinite presence of that one is omnipresent, that that infinite and powerful presence of love and wholeness and peace and power and intelligence is everywhere present. For it is this one presence that expresses itself in and through and around and as everything in this universe. It is fully present at every point in space and time. It is fully present at the tip of your finger. It is fully present within your heart. It is fully present within your life, for it is fully present everywhere. And its nature is to express. Its nature is to unfold. Its nature is to flow out into everything as a force for good, as the very power that is love, as the truth of each and every single one of us, our wholeness, our enoughness. It is the very essence that we call the good. And that is what we are made of. That is what our life is filled with. That is the truth everywhere. And so I recognize that as we turn our attention to this truth, that we create a greater opening for it to flow into our lives. And so I know that today there are blessings abounding. There are blessings flowing into our lives in every way that we can imagine. For we know that we are not separate from this presence of good, but that we are actually a part of it. And so I speak this word not just about us in this room, but I speak this word about every single person on this planet. Recognizing that right where they are is the fullness of spirit. That it is also pouring out a blessing to each person in this world. For where there is a need and where there is an opening, that presence flows effortlessly. And so I know right now that that presence is expressing itself in every home and in every place of business, in every relationship, as harmony, as wisdom, as abundance of good. And I speak this word also about every single politician, every single military person, every single world leader, every person that is making decisions today, that the intelligence and the wisdom of God are right where they are. That wisdom fills their minds, it fills their hearts, it fills their bodies, and it acts through them as the highest and the best decisions. I recognize that love is the greatest power in this world, and it is love that leads them, love for humanity, love for the whole. For their essence is love. And that is unfolding itself today. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now. And so I invite you to join me in saying, "And so it is." A couple of invitations for you as a way to participate in this family. One is we are... Ray Bunch is experiencing a health challenge right now, and he's experiencing vertigo, so he can't drive. And so I have signed, and he is the one in the household who does the cooking and the laundry and all that kind of stuff. So I have signed them up for Meal Train. So what Meal Train is it's a website. You can go and sign up to provide dinners. I'd like to provide dinners for them. They're open dates. You choose a date. There are instructions about what they do want to eat or don't want to eat. Or if you don't cook, you can have a meal delivered to them, like through Grubhub or that kind of thing. But you sign up. If you're taking a meal, you put what you put so they don't have spaghetti 5 nights in a row, you know. So the link is on here. We invite you to do that. We're going to support them at least for the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, and see how it goes. We have prayer support after church. If there's a practitioner in this room, will you raise your hand if you're a practitioner? They're happy to sit down and pray with you if you have a prayer request that you would like prayer for. There's also a ministry of prayer box in the back. If you have a prayer request, you can fill it out, put it in the box, and the practitioners will support you during the week in prayer. Sunday talks are available online, and we invite you to follow us on our social media, to like us on Facebook, to share the talks that get posted on Mondays. And so I invite you to repeat after me, the light and love of Spirit are within me now.
The light and love of Spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I own it and I share it.
I am it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.
And so it is.